Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. Judith Glaser is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Judy is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 8 years as a great member of our Brain Trust. She's the CEO of Benchmark Communications. She's the author of so many important books, 42 Rules for Creating We, the DNA of Leadership, which is still one of my favorites. And her new book is called Conversational Intelligence, How Great Leaders Build Trust and Get Extraordinary Results. And she's here with some news. Judy, welcome back to the show.
I'm thrilled to be back. I am really thrilled.
Good to have you here. Congratulations. It's just been so exciting for me to see you, see all of your ideas. It just almost seems like in the last 8 years, Judy, all these really powerful ideas that you've been proposing and that you come up with, the critical mass is just starting to overwhelm me when I hear about all the things you're up to.
Well, you know, I think this is a really important piece of this whole story. You make me feel so good when you say that. And the reason is that I have spent 50 years of my life talking about this, studying it, learning about it. Mm-hmm. But when I started to introduce it way back then, people thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they said, what does energy have to do with conversations? And, you know, it's all about persuasion. And, yeah, you know, I'm right, and if I can convince people I'm right, I'm a great conversationalist, you know?
Well, that's right. And you convinced me, because when I first heard about the work you were doing, I said, you know, this is important stuff, and I want to give it some airtime. And I'm glad that we've been able to introduce my audience to your ideas. One of the things you got on your mind today is we need to make sure this doesn't sound like homework now, Judy, because me and my folks, we don't like homework. But you've got a 60-day challenge. It's all around conversational intelligence. You got a 60-day challenge that you want to give us. But before you explain what you mean by that, I want you to remind the audience about what conversational intelligence is.
Okay. So most of us have learned that if we're a good conversationalist, we can influence people to do things. They follow us, you know, we become great leaders. That conversations, if you're good at that, then people will move forward and they'll understand what you want to help create in the world, and they want to be with you to do it. However, when people don't respond the way we expect, we usually go to a default behavior, which is to tell them again. So I want to influence you to do something. I'm in a conversation with you. You're not seeming to get it, so I will tell you the same thing again, because we've learned harder, right?
Obviously, you're a little hard of hearing. You're not listening very well, and I need to talk louder and slower probably, right?
Yeah, well, you're lucky if you get the
slower. And repeat myself.
Repeat yourself, right? And this is when I discovered about 20 years ago there was a phenomenon called the tell, sell, yell syndrome.
Yeah.
And so many leaders and companies would do it. They tell somebody once, they didn't get it. They tell them again, and then they try to sell them, like, this is the reason why you need to do this, and then they didn't get it, and then they start to yell. And sometimes they'd yell directly at them, but other times, conflict-averse leader, they don't yell at the person. They'll yell at somebody else, hoping that they will then go yell at the person for them. So I started to notice these wild patterns that came up, you know, start to develop in companies, where people didn't face each other, tell the truth, push back in a way that helps get good results. Instead, they went into tell, sell, yell. Or this is your favorite, I know you've told me before, is that addicted to being right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, you so believe that you're right, and so you just stop listening, like you
well,
said.
Well, I'm frequently wrong, but never in doubt. that's one of my problems, I think, Judy. So conversational intelligence does what for that?
Right. It helps us realize that we need to shift patterns, and that if we can shift our patterns in how we interact with someone, instead of doing more of the same thing, we learn some skills to listen differently, first of all, because you mentioned that's one of the big things. Instead of listening to reject the other person or correct them or judge them, which is often what we do when we're ready to get our point in, we shift to listen to connect. Listen to connect has become, of all the things that I've been teaching leaders, and I have letters here that came in yesterday, and they come on a regular basis. Here's a story that happened to me. You know, I had a son who wasn't listening to what I wanted him to do, and I wanted him to go ahead and sign up for a course so he could really be, you know, end up in college, and he wouldn't do it. And I kept telling him and telling him, and he writes the same thing. So instead, the man said, I'm going to listen to Connect to what his aspirations are. I'm not going to push him, right? And then, so there were two things he did. One,
listen to Connect.
Listen to Connect, right. Instead of trying to push our ideas on somebody else, ask somebody questions. So he started to ask the son questions that he had never asked before. You know, he said, how important is having, this was an internship, instead of telling me how to sign up for it or do it, he said, how important is having this internship to you? And then he stopped, and he waited, and he listened for the answer. And all of a sudden, the son looked at him in his eyes, and he said, Dad, you never talked to me like this before. It was like no pushing. It was just, what do you want, and how do you, you know. And then he said, what would you have to do to get that internship, and how can I help you?
So I could say, honey, tell me again why you think we need new drapes in the bedroom. I could do that. Is that what you're saying? Is that how I would do that?
And what was the next thing you were going to
say? I got nothing here. I'm just trying not to buy new drapes is all I'm trying not to do.
I know. What I heard in that was the overtone.
Here we go. Now you sound like her. I said, what did I say? She says, well, it's not what you said, it's how you said it.
Right. Yeah, it's like, are you kidding? You're going to buy new drapes?
Seriously, on this one, I'm speaking seriously. We all know that men and women express themselves differently. And there's a disconnect. There's somewhat of a disconnect, right? Because men want things to come in a certain way, and women want to say them a certain way. And there's a problem with the interface of those two things sometimes.
Right.
How does a man do a better job of listening to Connect?
Instead of asking questions for which you know the answer, like you were redirecting your wife that you were ready to say, what are you kidding? You know, you got the message loud and clear. If you get those drapes, I'm really going to be pissed. You know, you already knew what you wanted her to do, right? That women will, and it's not just women, but what I'm trying to help leaders see is that when you ask questions that open up people to think about what they really want, not them to think in a certain way. Happens inside, and people have to make a decision, and they make
it. So don't ask sarcastic or leading questions. Ask questions that open up the conversation and make people focus on the real meaning of what they're doing.
And what they really want.
Exactly.
You got
it. Okay. When we come back, we're going to get to this challenge. We're going to get right into the challenge now that you understand what's going on. And by the way, the drapes have already arrived. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Started walking and couldn't stop, turning it
over. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.